Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Welcome back to our summer speaker series. Our guest speaker today, I love this guy. He's got such a heart for Jesus and a deep love for the local church. Good friend, loves our Calvary Church family. We've worked with him many times over the years. You've heard him speak here at our summer speaker series in the past. Today's guest speaker is John Leggett, who's one of the leaders in the Compassion Network. He oversees the church in Wichita Falls, Texas, and also in Oklahoma City. So I know today you're going to be blessed as John brings us an encouraging word.
Well, hello. My name is John Leggett. I'm a good friend of Pastor Stephen and Susan. Just want to say hello to Calvary Church. So glad to be joining you guys today in service. I've got a wonderful word planned. I'm excited about what God is going to be speaking in the house. But I do want to first say, I love your pastor. Him and his wife are amazing, amazing men and women of God. And I thank the Lord that they are in my life. And I just want you to know how blessed you are to have a pastor like Pastor Stephen. So guys, again, just wanted to brag on your pastor for a few moments. Today, I want to talk to you about blessed. What it means to be blessed. We say the words all the time. I'm blessed. How are you doing? Oh, I'm blessed. When you leave and you say to someone, I speak blessings over you. I pray blessings over you. Now, you could be like my mother. My mother's from the South, and she would always say if someone did something, well, not very smart or not very bright, she would say, well, bless their heart. Well, we knew really what my mom was saying is, well, that was really dumb. You know, we so often use that word bless, especially in the Christian realm. And what does it mean? Today, I want to talk to you about blessed. And I want to use it out of the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. We find Jesus has been traveling around the Sea of Galilee near Capernaum. As he's there, he decides to stop on the hillside and begin to teach his followers, his disciples, but also gathered there that day is not just his disciples, but day laborers, farmers who have been oppressed by the Roman government. And Jesus begins to sit down and talk to them about what it means to be blessed. They probably didn't feel very blessed at this moment. And as Jesus begins to share what it means to be blessed, and to really understand, you need to know what the Greek word here for blessed means. It means to be supreme bliss, well off. It means fortunate. It even means happy. So when Jesus begins to share with all of those that have gathered to hear him talk about what it means to follow him, the price, and he begins to speak about blessed, their ears perk up. They want to hear what he's got to say because they want to be blessed. The thing is, as Jesus begins to share what it means to be blessed, well, it's a little confusing. Blessed are, in fact, you begin to look at the scripture here in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. He goes on and shares three more, and I'll share those with you in a few moments, but words like poor in spirit or words like mourn don't seem to go with blessed. What does this mean? I want to read a passage to you today. It's out of Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. And it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And listen to this here. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray over this word. God, we just pray right now, this word that is just being spoke, that it would find residence in our hearts and in our minds. That, Lord, today, as your word goes forth, I pray that, God, we would learn. That, Lord, today we would find wisdom from the word of God to go out into the highways and in the byways and carry the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. Let me tell you a story. In 2014, when ISIS began to take control and establish their so-called caliphate, Christian homes and businesses were marked with a big N on the outside. That N in Arabic, it actually stood for Nazarene. In other words, followers of Christ. Traditional Christians were offered the choice to flee and forfeit their homes or pay tax and remain in the caliphate. Former Muslim converts to Christianity were also given two choices: return to Islam immediately or be killed. Tens of thousands of Christians fled their homes in Iraq and Syria, moving to camps within their nation or surrounding nations, and many of those are still trying to recover today. At the height of the ISIS onslaught, a reporter interviewed an Iraqi pastor. As they finished their conversation, he asked, how could American Christians pray for those in the land? The Iraqi pastor's answer kind of stood out to the reporter. He said this: pray that God will call Christians to stay here. Pray that God would call Christians to stay here. I guess if I could put a title on our sermon today, my title would be, "Our Reaction Determines Our Results." Our reaction determines our results. And in the last three of the Beatitudes, it begins to deal with how we, as followers of Christ, react to what others do to us. It begins to talk about our reaction to circumstances, situations, things that we're going through. The first one is, it said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. You're going to notice throughout this study that he says, blessed are. Then he talks about peacemakers. Then he talks about the result if you do. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. The word peacemaker here means to be peaceable. I guess my first point to you today would be, making peace isn't the same as keeping peace. In the middle of a chaotic situation, when trials and tribulations are going on, when fights have broke out, when a situation is not good, in other words, when chaos is reigning supreme, Jesus says, this is what I want your reaction to be. I want you to be a peacemaker. Now, he doesn't say peacekeeper. They're two different things. A peacekeeper will do whatever it takes to make peace, even if it's wrong or not right, or even allows bad things to keep happening. But a peacemaker says, I've got to find a way through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, through my relationship with God, to bring peace in the middle of this chaos. I promise you, in your life, there will always be circumstances and situations that will try its best to try your patience. But Jesus says to his followers there on the mountainside that day, listen to me, no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is happening, no matter how bad it gets, you make a decision, you determine in your life that you will do everything you can to bring peace. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, and listen to this, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Jesus said, now first, if it at all possible, sometimes there will be circumstances and situations that are out of your control. You can do all you can, try to make the peace, but it's out of your control. But then he goes on to say, but as far as it depends on you. In other words, you can't let others decide your peace. You can't let others steal your peace. In fact, not only that, you have to make a decision as a believer in Christ Jesus. Not only will I not allow circumstances and situations, problems and issues arise in my life to determine my peace, I will make a decision to try to bring peace in the middle of chaos, in the middle of that bad situation. I won't let fear or worry or anxiety, anger, bitterness take over. I will decide to make peace in what I am going through and in what I am facing. It tells us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. I had to make a decision in my life as a believer that I'm going to treat others the way I want them to treat me. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give forgiveness. I'm going to show grace. I have to determine as a believer that if I want peace in my life, then I've got to show peace and give peace to others. No matter what's going on, no matter the situation, there will always be moments that the devil will try his best to steal your peace. But you decide to be a peacemaker. You decide to hold on to it. It says in James chapter 3, verse 18, peacemakers who sow peace reap a harvest of righteousness. You make a decision that I'm going to sow peace today. I won't give in. I won't react in a bad way. Remember, just as this Iraqi pastor was saying is all the Christians are fleeing. They're leaving the situation. Their decision, their reaction is to get out. But we need believers to stay here to share the gospel, even if it costs them their life. We have to determine as a believer that our reaction to a bad situation, when chaos is arising, that I will do everything I can to bring peace. When that person's mad at me and yelling at me and screaming at me, I won't react the way they're reacting to me. I will react in a way that I hope they would react to me. It tells us in Matthew 5:9, for they will be called the children of God if we are peacemakers. The Bible, Jesus says to those, rather than the word of God, to all those that are gathered at the bottom of the hill, he said to them this, you will be called children of God because I am the Prince of Peace. I give grace. I give kindness. My reaction in the middle of a chaotic situation is to show peace, to be a peacemaker. The next one is this. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Again, we see another situation that how we react determines what happens in our lives. Whether you know it, whether it's happened, it's going to happen somewhere down the road. As a follower of Christ Jesus, not everybody's going to love you. Not everybody is going to like it. In fact, as a believer, you're going to irritate some people. You're going to make some people mad. In fact, the Bible goes on to let us know that what will happen is we will face persecution. We will go through those moments. In fact, let me say this way. Point number two, a problem-free life is an evidence of a God-purposed life. A problem-free life is an evidence of a God-purposed life. In other words, if you say everything in my life is great, that must mean I'm following God. That's not true. We will face things. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says it like this. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, listen to this, will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. As followers, we'll be persecuted. It's all right, though. John 16:33 says it this way. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, listen, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Did you hear that? We're going to face trouble. Jesus said, I have suffered so shall you suffer. Again, remember, the title of my sermon is Your Reaction Determines Your Result. When I am persecuted, and let's be honest, in our Western culture, we really don't face persecution. But what I say with persecution is when people make fun of your faith, when people tell you you're crazy to believe in a higher being, when they make fun because your standards of living goes against the way they believe. We have to make a decision as a believer not to allow and react in a way to those who come against us. And again, it may be in a very simple way. I'll never forget, I was working at 18 years old at a grocery store in the meat department. And I'll never forget one day the truck driver came by to deliver the meat, and me and the manager are unloading the truck. And as we do, the guy in the truck begins to tell a terrible joke. I won't even say it, but it was a bad joke. I didn't know what to do. I'm only 18 years old, and this guy's older than me, and I didn't want to in some ways insult him, but I'm like, I didn't want to laugh at the joke because it was horrible, but I was so young, I didn't know what to do. But I'll never forget my manager. He looked at the guy, and he said, well, I don't really appreciate that joke. I don't think it's funny. You should make fun of people like that. See, at that moment, he had to make a decision how he would react to something that was persecuting his faith. Now, again, I know that's really not persecution, but let's be truthful. As believers living in a Western culture, we don't really face persecution. But how we react to others when they come against our faith, when they speak against us, goes so far. We have to realize there will be trouble in this world. People will come against us. But what I've got to do is, in the middle of persecution, I will not give in. I've got to choose to love those who hate me. It says, Matthew 5:43, you have heard it was said, love your neighbors and hate your neighbors. But he goes on to say, but you are to love your neighbors and pray for them. In other words, when I get a reaction of persecution as a believer, I don't give it back. I give back love. I love them. I appreciate them. I show the love of Christ with the hopes and the prayer that the love that I show will be reciprocated. And maybe, just maybe, they'll come to a knowledge of Christ Jesus. James chapter 1 verse 2 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know, listen to this, that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, we have to go through persecution. Why? Because when we go through this, the Bible says it is creating inside of us perseverance, that the next thing we go through, it's easier. The next problem we face, we don't have to struggle through it. Because as each time we face difficult situations, our perseverance is built. And when it does, it makes us mature. We don't fight it. We don't resist it. We say, God, I understand that part of being a believer is having to face difficult and troubling times in this world. But that's okay. I know who is for me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So as a believer in Christ Jesus, as a follower, that day on the hillside there close to the Sea of Galilee, Jesus was saying to his followers, you'll be persecuted. You'll go through hard times, but your reaction to those hard times, those difficult moments, they matter. People are watching. And if you react in the right way, in the godly way, you've got a chance to bring that person who sees how you reacted to a knowledge of Christ Jesus as Lord and as Savior. Next, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. See, last point, we learned that we will face difficult moments in our life. And when we do, it doesn't mean that we're not a Christian. It doesn't mean we're not doing something right. In fact, many times when you are doing something right, you will face difficulties because the devil doesn't like it. But the last point is, Jesus begins to share with them, not only will you go through difficult times, you're going to have people that are going to say bad things about you. talk against you. In fact, point number three is this, write it down. Approval of everyone isn't a sign of approval from God. Let me say that again. Approval of everyone isn't a sign of approval from God. Jesus was saying that day to those that were along the hillside, if you want everyone to like you, you're going to be in trouble. If you want everyone to be for you, you're going to have a problem. Because, in fact, the Bible says that children will turn against their parents. And the Bible begins to talk about what we will face as believers. And we have this ideal of everyone likes me. Listen, not everyone's going to like you. There will be those who are against you. And as a believer, I'm not trying to make everyone like me. In fact, if I'm making everyone like me, I'm probably compromising somewhere in my life. But as a believer in Christ Jesus, I choose to say, I'm going to live at peace with everyone. I'm going to love everyone. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. But I also understand that when people come against me, it doesn't mean that I'm not a follower of Christ. It doesn't mean that I'm doing something wrong. What it means is I am probably stirring up trouble because the enemy doesn't like what I'm doing. Others don't like my faith. It says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, you will be hated by everyone because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Remember, your reaction matters. Many times people will come against you, seeing if they can get you to move from your standards, to step away from your faith, to question your beliefs. But when you stand firm in the faith, the Bible says, when you have nothing else to do, stand. I will not waver. I will not give up. I know who I am for. I know that God is in my life. I know that I am saved and I am redeemed. And I believe in the Word of God 100% that the Word of God is true. And I will live according to that Word, knowing and believing that if I do, God will and is going to take care of me. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, of chapter 12, verse 10 says this, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, in your weaknesses of life, God will rise to the occasion. God will stand in front of your enemy. God will fight your battles. Your reaction matters. I won't live in fear. I won't let chaos take over. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will be a peacemaker. In Jesus' name, I will not let the things of this world, the trials and tribulations and the persecution, turn me away from my faith. And most of all, I will not let people who come against me and my walk with Christ deter me from following Him. What Christ wants us to do at this moment when He shares these words, He was saying to His followers, your reaction matters. How you handle situations, how you handle persecution, how you handle others, it matters. And if you, as a believer in Christ Jesus, will live according to God's Word, I promise you the results to your reactions will be godly and blessed. We're so glad to have you today. Thank you so much for being a part of this service. And I just pray right now. Let me pray over you. God, I pray over everyone that is watching today, that I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless them. That God, we will become peacemakers. Lord, I pray today in the name of Jesus Christ, that God, in the face of persecution, Lord, we will not give up. We will not quit. But God, we will keep pressing on the path that God has us. And Lord, no matter what others say about us, we will not retaliate. No matter who comes against us, God, we want blessings in our life. And to be blessed, we know in the name of Jesus Christ, that Lord, we must react in a godly way. For we love you and praise you and glorify your name. In Jesus' name, God bless. God bless.